If you can turn with me, please, in God's Word to Genesis chapter 44. We're going through the life of Joseph in our afternoon service. We're looking at this, obviously, from different points of view, obviously taking Joseph's life and making those practical applications from one Christian to another Christian, how he lived the Christian life, the troubles and trials that he faced. But also, anybody who studies the life of Joseph, you know, and it's well documented, that his life, there's many parallels, comparisons, symbolism, pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're doing that as well. And so we've done that through the study. We did that last time as we came to the silver cup, and we looked at that from Joseph's sufferings to Christ's sufferings. But now we want to look more from the point of view, a bit of a mixture, but also today and next time, more focusing on the silver cup and the life of the Christian, thinking about the trials and troubles that we will face. I have 4 points, and you know me, my bad habits, I'm not going to get all 4 done. And so I will only do 1 point today, and then we'll come back, God willing, next week for the other 3 points. The first point, basically, I'll give it the other two. Next week, we'll look at the receiver, the response, and the return due to the silver cup. Today, we want to look at the reason for the silver cup. And so, as we said, we preached on the silver cup a few weeks ago, but we looked at from the life of Joseph and comparing it to Christ, Joseph's sufferings to Christ's sufferings. Now we're coming to think upon our own life as born-again believers and the trials and the sufferings that we go through in the Christian life. So Genesis chapter 44, I'll just read verse 1 down to verse 5. Just for now, I plan to read verses 1 to 17, but I'll just read verses 1 to 5. And he commanded the steward of his house, saying, "Fill the men's sacks with food, as much as they can carry, and put every man's money in his sack's mouth, and put my cup, the silver cup, in the sack's mouth of the youngest, and his corn money." And he did according to the word that Joseph had spoken. And as soon as the morning was light, the men were set away, they and their asses. And when they were gone out of the city, and not yet far off, Joseph said unto his steward, "Up, follow after the men. When thou dost overtake them, say unto them, Wherefore have ye rewarded evil for good? Is not this it, in which my Lord drinketh, and whereby indeed he divineth, and ye have done evil in so doing?" Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word. Let's unite together in prayer. Our Heavenly Father and Eternal God, pray, O God, for thy hand to be upon us and for thy blessing. And Lord, we ask of thee that thou wilt write thy word upon our heart. We thank thee, Lord, thy word is truth. And therefore we pray in this study, may we learn of Christ. And Father, we pray above all, we will have that closer love for him, because we know, Lord, as we read the accounts in the Bible, even the life of Joseph, how, Lord, he worked through the Spirit in Joseph's life to conform him daily to the image of Christ, Lord, to shape in his life, to be used for the Master's glory. So, Lord, we realize in our life, all that takes place is for thine honor, for thy glory. For, Lord, we know that all things work together for good to them who love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose. Give us help now in Jesus' name. Amen. At the end of Genesis chapter 43, Joseph's brethren have sat at meal with him. And we've looked at that in great detail. But our focus today really concerns what takes place after the meal. Unknown to the brethren, Joseph commanded the steward of his house, saying, "Fill the men's sacks with food, as much as they can carry, and put every man's money in his sack's mouth." Now, by the reading of chapter 43 to chapter 44, it's clear that Joseph's plan takes action as soon as the morning light, as shown there from verse 3. That means Joseph's orders have been given straight after the meal, or the next day, very early in the morning. Once again, even before the day has started, before his brethren have awakened, Joseph has been good to them. in supplying their need and providing food for them. As you know, every time they came, Joseph met their need. They came to his house. He provided food. And now again, unknown to them, they're sleeping, and Joseph is now planning the day ahead, and he plans provision for them. Joseph had planned their day. He knows what's going to take place. Joseph will work according to his plans and purposes in the lives of his brethren, as he has done since they came to him in Egypt. Joseph has given his steward, from verses 1 through verse 3, certain commands to carry out to do his work. This was the second visit of the brothers to Egypt, and both times their need was bread in order to sustain them during this time of famine. As you remember, it was throughout all the lands. On both occasions, Joseph supplies their need in abundance because he is their brother and he does love them. God has placed Joseph, one who is his chosen servant. God has placed him where he is as the provider and the preserver of all who come to him as seeking bread. And we've learned certain pictures as we've looked through in previous weeks of what a picture we have of the heavenly Joseph, the Lord Jesus Christ, who knows what we have need of, not only for eternal life, but also through life as he supplies our needs. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only savior of sinners, the only provider of eternal life. And then once he saves that soul, he blesses that soul day by day. Day by day, he gives and gives again. He supplies our needs according to his riches and glory. All we have needed, his hand hath provided. His goodness faileth never, and morning by morning, new mercies we see. Do you understand, child of God, that even before you awaken, even during the night, even before your day begins, before you do anything, before you go anywhere, before you plan your day's activities, your Heavenly Father has filled your sack with good things for that day, with abundance, because day by day, he knows what you need. His purposes and his plans will be carried out in your lives by the power of the Holy Spirit. And therefore, we learn that our ways and our thoughts, or his thoughts and his ways, are higher than ours. His wisdom is and understanding is infinite. And what a wonderful thought that is as we come to this passage. Joseph, while the brethren are sleeping, he has everything planned and how he's going to test them. And so there is that picture day by day, how the Lord meets us at the point of our need before our day begins. He's already blessed us with good things. Didn't the psalmist pray, "Oh, to the one who daily loadeth me with benefits"? Joseph, in this passage, is going to test his brothers one final time, and yet they don't know it. Joseph commands his steward in verse 2, "Put my cup, the silver cup, in the sack's mouth of the youngest." Joseph's cup was a special cup. It was a silver cup. It was a cup that was used for a specific purpose. It was Joseph's own personal cup. Again, verse 2, "It's my cup." It is the cup that Joseph drank out of, as we read in verse 5. Is not this it, or the cup, in which my Lord drinketh? And so we learn of this cup. It's a wonderful thought. Now, let me just, before we go further, let me just say, remember, this scene is in Egypt. Egypt is an ungodly place, a land of heathen idolatry, a pagan society. And we learn that certain cups were used by the Egyptians for false worship, known as divination. Now, the word divineth, or thinking of divination, as it's used in verse 5, was to predict the future, to observe the times, enchantments. It was associated with knowledge, information about the future. And so the Egyptians would have used these cups, if you like, for fortune telling, to tell the future, to divine it. It was a false idol. Today, you may use the term, you go to some wee person dressed up and they have these wee crystal balls and they want to tell you the future, a load of nonsense. Or they come to the newspaper and you have all these things that look at what date your birthday's on, and if your birthday's in this month, then here's the good things for you. All a load of nonsense. And so the whole point is they had these cups that they used for divineth. And I make that point because Joseph has this cup, and that is in reference to him, that it is the cup that my Lord divineth. But we must look at the context in Joseph's life. Genesis 39, verse 3. The Lord was with Joseph, and the Lord made all that he did to prosper. And so by that, Joseph is not involved in the heathen practices that the Egyptians that were involved in. He was not involved in any of this fortune-telling. In fact, there's no rebuke even by the Lord to him. Anytime Joseph has spoken about the future, it's been by a message revealed from God, not by divination, not by false worship, not by going to this wee cup and filling it up and praying over it. Joseph is not using this cup for heathen practices because he's not telling the future. Rather, he has knowledge of the situation. He's planning the day. He knows what will take place. He's told his servant, put the cup, this silver cup, in the sack of the younger. So Joseph knows exactly what's going to take place. Again, it was Pharaoh who said of Joseph in Genesis 41, verse 39, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. And so Joseph is one who plans this cup to see if there be any wicked way in his brethren. Also, let me say this here. If you have a margin in your Bible, in the Old Testament, you will get the Hebrew reference or a meaning of a particular word. It's not maybe used all the same time. And therefore, the word divineth in verse 5 and the word divine in verse 15 means to test or to make trial. And so the clear meaning of this is not Joseph's involvement in wrongdoing or heathen practice or paganism. Rather, he's examining, he's testing, he's trying his own brother's confession by putting this silver cup in the sack of the youngest to see how they will respond against Benjamin and regarding their treatment of Joseph. With that in mind, Joseph commands his steward to say to his brothers, is not this the which my Lord drinketh? Whereby indeed he divineth, or indeed he tests, he tries, or he rules from. Joseph's silver cup is the cup of testing, a cup associated with trials, sufferings, grief, and sorrow. And he will test his brothers one final time. And Joseph's silver cup symbolized his humiliations, his sufferings by the hand of his brothers, but also unseen by God's will, his permission, and his purposes. As Joseph said in Genesis chapter 45, verse 7, God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. And so the silver cup in Joseph's life was God's purpose to save a people. God had a purpose for the silver cup in Joseph's life. And now Joseph has a purpose for the silver cup in the lives of his brother. And the whole point I'm making is this. In our own life, God gives us silver cups that we will look at in a minute. But the greatest example, or the highest form of silver cups of suffering, of trials and sorrow, is found in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the symbolism of the cup identified in his humiliation sufferings and sorrows, not only by the hands of wicked men, cruel men, but also by the hand of God, who chastised his Son, whom it pleased him to bruise him, because Christ was sent into this world to suffer for our sins, to die the just for the unjust, to bring us to God. And so there was that cup in Christ's life. It came with a purpose. His sufferings was to save sinners. And therefore you're saved the day you who are born again by the Spirit, because Christ suffered for our sin. Remember, he said in the gospel, referring to his Father, of the cup that had been given to him. And so there was a cup of suffering given to Christ. That suffering was his obedience unto death, even the death of the cross. Again, this cup, Matthew chapter 26, when Christ instituted the Lord's Supper. What did he say about the cup? He took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." And so the cup, it symbolizes his sufferings, the shedding of his precious blood, the sorrows he bore in order to save his people. Again, in the Garden of Gethsemane, Matthew 26, verse 38 and 39, his soul is exceedingly sorrowful. And so the silver cup of Christ's life was permitted by God, seen by his humiliation, suffering, sorrows, agony of soul, the wrath of God upon him, for the purpose to deliver people from their sin, to preserve a people, and to bring many sons to glory. And I tell you this, are you saved this day by the grace of God? Do you rejoice this day that the gospel message is preached freely and exclusively, that there's a Christ for sinners? The Lord Jesus Christ is the only Savior. And all who trust in him, all who come and realize he died in my place, he suffered for my sin, he gave himself for me, all who trust in him will have all their sin forgiven. Is there one this day in this gathering, and you're not a Christian? You're not saved by the grace of God, but you've heard just now that Jesus Christ was appointed to suffer for sin, that he gave his life a ransom to save your soul, and you're lost in your sin. But now you've heard there's hope in the gospel. Will you come and say, "Lord Jesus, save me from my sin"? Because that was the whole purpose. Christ came into the world to save sinners. You may say, "How do I know he will save me? About my sin, my wretched life. You don't know the things I've done, the things I've got up to. You don't know where I've been, the things I've stolen, the things I've lied about. How do I know he'll save me?" Because he died for sinners. And he said, "For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." And if that's you, you have every right to come and ask him to save you. And therefore, even just now where you're sitting, will you say, "Lord, save my soul"? The Lord was given a cup of suffering with a purpose to save a people. Joseph was given a cup of suffering, a silver cup in his life, in order to save a people from perishing in the famine. And the whole point is this, believer, we are given silver cups, if you like, or silver cups in our life of sorrows and trials and troubles, all with a purpose. And believer, what you learn from this passage is this: God tests his people by giving them a silver cup symbolized by sufferings, trials, and sorrow. In his wisdom, he chooses which silver cup to give and which silver cup to test by. He gives that one suited. He suits the silver cup to the person. He sovereignly chooses the day, the time, and all who are involved, as we see in this passage. For some, it may be the silver cup of sickness. Some it may be poor health. Some it may be financial woe. For some it may be the thorn in the flesh. For some it may be poverty. For some it may be bereavement. For some it may be family issues. For some it may be hardships at work, pressure, job loss, higher bills, family disorientated, all these different things. How do we respond? What do we do? The silver cup examines our confession before the Lord in all these things, because we will all experience a silver cup of suffering, a silver cup of trial, a silver cup where you will be betrayed, hated, despised, whatever it may be. Some point in your life, you will experience a silver cup. Every test is permitted by the Lord, of the Lord, to bring about his own good pleasure and to perfect that which concerneth you in the work he has begun in you. And the grace of God will be seen in your life when you can say as Joseph, God meant it on to good. That God has brought me this way for a particular purpose. For Joseph, it was to preserve the seed line, to see his family safe. For you, it may be some other purpose. But all around, the main purpose all still centers upon redemption. So such silver cups, trials, they come unexpected and they come least expected. And that's everything you see here with Joseph and his brothers. He chose when the silver cup would be given, who the silver cup would be given to. He chose the trial. He chose the time of the trial. He had everything organized. And so we learn the silver cup. And as I said, I have 4 points. Next time we will look at the recipient of this cup and other points. But today, notice, first of all, the reason for the silver cup. The reason. In the story of Joseph, his brothers, apart from Benjamin, hated him without a cause. They despised him. They rejected him. They betrayed him. They sold him as a slave for money. They even planned his death. And by their hands and wicked deeds, they caused his sufferings and his sorrows. They ignored him in his anguish. Joseph had not seen his brethren for 21 years until they come before him. And they make this confession in Genesis chapter 42, verse 21. We are very guilty concerning our brother in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us and we would not hear. Therefore is this distress come upon us. And so notice that confession. We are very guilty concerning our brother. And they admit right before him, we saw the anguish of his soul. We saw him sorrow. We saw his agony. We saw his pain. But we did not care. We despised him. We wanted him gone. So this is the first time Joseph hears of their wrongdoing. It's also the first time Joseph hears the offense from his brother's point of view. And based on that confession, as we've learned in the last number of chapters, Joseph has tested them one after another to see, are they still hateful men? Are they still bitter? Are they still angry men? Are they still jealous? Are they still proud? Are they still filled with covetousness? Are they still deceivers? Are they still liars? Joseph's test will push some buttons. This silver cup that he chooses will put the pressure on. The temperature will rise. Joseph will permit certain situations to take place. He will allow his brothers to be put in a certain circumstance to see their response, their emotions, their attitude, their actions towards one another and towards him. Joseph's test is not to harm, not to hurt. It's not to hinder. Rather, it's designed to strengthen, to help, and to lead them into further blessing. And for this final test, he uses the silver cup that symbolized his sorrows. And he puts it in one of the brothers' sack. And they are challenged about the location of this silver cup. Because this silver cup is taken from one place to another place. From its home where it belonged, now going a completely different direction, somewhere else where it does not belong. And they're not, the whole point is for them to see the picture that that's what they did to Joseph. They took him for where he belonged and they sold him somewhere to where he did not belong. They took him from his father's house and sold him as a slave going down to Egypt. And Joseph wants them to give an account of their own words. As found in chapter 42, verse 13. Thy servants are 12 brethren, the sons of one man. The youngest, who is Benjamin, he's with our father. And one is not. So the whole point is this. What happened to the one who is not? What happened to the one who is not there? Again, the phrase one is not means dead. Well, what's happening to the one who's dead? And remember, Joseph is alive. So he wants to know from them, well, what happened to this one? You claim to be dead because I'm alive. And just as Joseph knew where the silver cup was, he tests them to bring it to light. Where is Joseph? Joseph knows the area to test them. He knows the weakness that must be strengthened. And he sends his steward to seek and to search them, to bring them back. And the whole point is this, when they come back, because they get the message, and they come back and they begin to confess their sin, and they begin to say, God has found out our sin. They understand what this cup means. They understand all the symbolism of it. We have done wrong to Joseph. Therefore, brethren, whenever we carry out the words of Romans chapter 10, verse 10, with the mouth, or with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. That believing and that confession is examined and tested, not to catch you out, but to make your calling and election sure, that men may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. You are a Christian, neutral you cannot be. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. How long will ye halt between two opinions? You cannot serve God and man. And therefore, you are examined day by day to see if you be in the faith. Is Christ the altogether lovely to you? Is he the fairest of 10,000 to your soul? Has your view changed of Christ? It has to be if you're saved by the grace of God, because that's what Joseph is doing. They despised him. They hated him. But now they've made this confession. Now is Joseph still hated by them? Is he still despised by them? Or now will they love him? Our brother. And so it is with Christ. We despised him. We hated him. We rejected him. We were haters of God. But whenever he saved us, what is Christ to you? Who is Christ to you? Can you say like Charles Wesley, Jesus, lover of my soul, other refuge have I none, hangs my helpless soul on thee. O Christ, thou art all I want. More than all in thee I find, just and holy is thy name. I am all unrighteousness, vile and full of sin I am. Thou art full of truth and grace. Plenteous grace with thee is found, grace to cover all my sin. What is Christ to you? Can you say now, he is the lover of my soul? Christ said in John 15, verse 16, ye have not chosen me, I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit shall remain. What is that fruit? What is the fruit of the Christian life? Above all, it's likeness to Jesus Christ. Did we not read In John's Gospel, the Savior said, I do always those things that please Him. That is the fruit of the Christian's life, that you will do those things that please Him. And how you please God? You love His Son. It's becoming more and more like Christ. And so Joseph is testing, how do they now respond to me? How do they now respond to their other brethren, to Benjamin and the others? When you are saved, what's your view of Christ? And what's your view of God's own people? The mark, and coming to a close, the mark of the new birth is seen by the fruit of the Spirit that lives within every child of God. And notice it's the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruits of the Spirit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. And also, the moment you were saved by the grace of God, the fruit of the Spirit was implanted in you. So it's not that one Christian is love and one Christian is joy. Oh, I wish I was more like that Christian. They have love. Oh, I wish I was like that Christian. They show self-control. Oh, I wish I was like that Christian. He or she's meek. No. The fruit of the Spirit dwells within every child of God. And as you grow in grace, that fruit matures, that you love Christ more and you love His people more. That you join Him and you join His people. So always remember that there. And that is what is being tested day by day in our Christian life. The fruit of the Spirit. Are we growing in grace? Are we becoming more and more like the Savior? And God, to do that, sends us silver cups in our life. He puts the pressure on, if you like. He puts us through the fire to get rid of all the impurities, that the pureness will be there. For some, it's your authority being challenged, your authority being questioned, or you will not submit to authority. Disobedient, disagreement, correction. You don't like anybody telling you what to do. Maybe a plan that you have and someone says it won't work. And then you begin to bubble up. How do you respond when you don't get your way? How do you react when people refuse to listen? God's silver cup may be to put you in a trial, a test that tests your joy, your love, your joy, your peace towards one another and in that situation. Maybe covetousness. Someone possesses something you want but you don't have, and you don't think they should have it, but you should have it, and can't understand how they have it. Maybe a certain car, certain house, certain talents, a salary, numbers, a spouse, a marriage, a family. Well, why can't my children be like them? Well, why can't my husband be like him? Why can't my wife be like her? Why can't my pastor be like him? Why can't the church be like that one? And so on and so on. And become envy. Listen, that person preach. Oh, how does he have that much people come to him? Wouldn't go myself. On all these different things, you can go on a whole big list. And the Lord is testing your long-suffering, patience, gentleness, goodness. It may be your day-to-day routines. Children to school, out for work. Buses are running late. Trains are cancelled. It's a bad day at work. Nothing's going right. You get easily frustrated, overwhelmed. You get snappy. Someone says something, don't bother me today. Your faith is being tested. Your meekness, which is the word humility. Your temperance, self-control, is being tested. Because that is everything Joseph is testing in their brothers. Do they love him? Do they love one another? Because before, they hated him and they started to bicker one another. They had no self-control. They had no humility. There was no meekness. But there was just covetous. There was everything the opposite. No love, no peace, no joy. And so now they've made this confession. Joseph begins to test that, to mature that, to see the evidence of it. And to do it, he gives them a silver cup. He puts them in a situation. He puts them in a situation where these things can be matured and they can be evidenced. So the reason for the silver cup, it's to see a change in their life, to see how they respond. Because that is what every silver cup does. Maybe you were one, I don't know. And I know different people who've been saved. I'm going back to my mind here in Northern Ireland, people I knew. They would have handled the situation by swearing bad language. That's how they would have handled the situation. If they're angry, bad language would have come out. Or if they responded, it would have been foul language. But after they were saved by the grace of God, then they had a new speech. Their speech was seasoned with salt. And they had a new way to say things. And that's just one example. And so the reason for the silver cup is to show how much we've grown in grace. To show that confession. Next time, we will look at the receiver. We will look at the response. And we will look at the return, because you will see the receiver is Benjamin. And I'll just highlight this for next time. Out of all the brothers that could have been tested and deserved to be tested, it was only Benjamin. And I make this point, God has a specific reason for choosing an individual for a particular test. So we'll look at the receiver. Why was it Benjamin and not anybody else? Because that's not what happens when we get tests. Why is it me, or why is it not that person? We'll look at his response. And then we'll look at the return due to the silver cup. What impact the silver cup had. They didn't continue in their sin and they didn't just walk off. It brought them back to Joseph. And the whole point is silver cups in our life. It's not to cause us to stop coming to church or to close our Bible. Rather, it's to cause us to return back to the Lord in fellowship with him. So may God write his word upon our heart for his name's sake. Let's unite together in prayer and then we'll sing our last hymn, hymn number 335. Our Heavenly Father, eternal God, we thank thee for the gifts and talents. We rejoice for Jesus Christ, our Saviour. And we thank him that he loves us and give himself for us. In Jesus' name, amen.